Today, on this episode of the PureDirect Special Spotlight.
The Castle trial in specific and cell therapy in general is really a novel approach to the management of lupus specifically and autoimmunity in general.
Today, Drs. Wise and Stahl join the podcast to discuss reset versus management debate for treatment refractory lupus nephritis in this PureDirect Specialist Spotlight. All opinions expressed are those of the presenters and do not necessarily reflect the views of this educational initiative supporters.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leanna Wise in the Division of Rheumatology, University of Southern California, Keck School of Medicine in Los Angeles, California.
And I'm Dr. William Stoll, also in the Division of Rheumatology, University of Southern California, Keck School of Medicine in Los Angeles.
Billy, thank you so much for coming and chatting with me today.
Leanna, it's a delight to be with you.
Billy, I'd like to chat with you today about one of the most interesting topics that I see in the treatment of lupus, particularly those with refractory disease. And this really involves, you know, treating patients with what might be a therapy that can help with resetting the immune system. And this is so different from how we usually see the treatment of patients with lupus. We're usually seeing this as a chronic disease, giving medications long-term, chronic disease management. But now this conversation is being driven by the idea of cell therapy. And we have some very new data from the CASTLE trial. This was the phase 1-2 basket trial. So it wasn't just patients with lupus, but 10 patients with lupus were included in the CASTLE trial. And primary outcome was safety, secondary outcomes were efficacy. Let's talk a little bit about the CASTLE trial, and I would love some of your input on this as it relates to cell therapy.
So the CASTLE trial in specific and cell therapy in general is really a novel approach to the management of lupus specifically and autoimmunity in general. Instead of giving, whether it's pills or infusions of monoclonal antibodies, we are now giving cells to patients with the idea that these cells can go in and percolate throughout the entire body and kill off those target cells that we don't want there. And in this case, we're talking about cells that are targeting B cells to eliminate the B cells, which also include the pathogenic B cells. The initial results are very encouraging, but I want to caution you that initial results are just that, initial. We don't have meaningful long-term experience with this approach. We don't know whether these individuals will retain their remissions long-term. We don't know what toxicities they will develop long-term. So this certainly is very, very exciting, but it's also one which is fraught with the unknown.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I think to this end, multiple different studies are moving in this direction. And because of this, we have the data from the CASTLE trial, although this is still only a phase 1-2 study. They did include multiple different diseases here. 10 of these patients did have lupus, and their primary endpoint, being a partially phase 1 study, was safety, and efficacy was a key secondary endpoint. In this study, they used a therapy called zorpocaptagene, and this is a cellular therapy. Specifically, again, they're looking for safety outcomes and efficacy outcomes. And as we know from cell therapy, we're really trying to look at this being on a background of medication-free background. We don't want to see these patients needing a lot of glucocorticoids, even after lymphodepletion or beyond after they received cell therapy. And of course, also being off of their lupus-specific medications as well. In CASTLE, we did see that. We saw many patients getting to full remission and off of their conventional therapies too. And this is really helpful to compare to data that's come out of Germany so far and China, and seeing that we potentially have this on the horizon for patients. What do you feel about this mechanistically? Does this make sense? You know, should we be looking at this for treating some patients with refractory lupus? And maybe a further question is, what is the appropriate patient population that we should be offering this to in just the clinical setting? And if that's even available in the near future?
So, Leanna, this makes a tremendous amount of sense. From a scientific standpoint, this is truly a great breakthrough. The fact that it is possible, at least conceptually, to not only control the immune activity or the aberrant immune activity, but to actually reset the immune system so that going forward, it no longer is abnormal or aberrant. This is why we are talking about immune resetting rather than just simply immunomodulation or controlling of the disease.
Yeah, and I do agree, and I think we need to be careful with the language of immune reset because we know based on the cohorts that we have so far, we still have a very limited amount of data. We don't have 5-year data, we don't have 10-year data, and we have to see that. These patients are largely on the younger side, and this is technically a chronic disease, and we have to know if this is going to be durable for years and years on end and really contribute to a true cure or remission, as some are hoping to claim. And another thought, too, is safety, of course. We do see fairly high incidence of side effects or safety issues, although most of them do tend to be fairly mild, but this is something that has to be accounted for. And we also have to figure out what is the right patient population or whom to whom we can offer this as a therapy. Because we do have other good modalities for treating lupus. It's not like there's nothing. We do have some patients who respond great, of course, to many of our modalities at hand. So I guess from your standpoint, who would you want to offer this therapy to? I can think of patients, you know, of course, severe patients like those enrolled in the trials. But in the clinical setting, if this were to be available, who would you pick?
So before you get to the question of whom I would pick, you have to recognize that cell therapy, at least as it's currently formulated, is from a practical standpoint, not from everyone. I mean, think about it. If you're a 25-year-old woman with lupus, with 2 children, exactly how do you take off the time to get the lymphodepletion that's required, then to wait around and then get called in for infusion, probably have to be in the hospital for several days. So this is not something that is going to be immediately available for everyone. Now, others are trying to advance the field in terms of eliminating the need for lymphodepletion, which will save on time. Also, the possibility of there being allogeneic, which means that you can have cell therapy off the shelf, as it were. So before we actually identify who would be the ideal candidates, I think we have to appreciate that not everyone, even if they in theory would be a great candidate, is going to be able to receive this therapy from very practical logistics.
Yeah, I think that's super true. And I even think from a practical standpoint, cost, of course, is also something to consider. But I do also wonder from a bird's eye view, when you, like you mentioned, with a 25-year-old woman who could have quite active disease for, say, the next 5, 10, 15 years, if we're thinking about damage prevention, preventing hospitalizations, steroid burden, et cetera, this may have a role in hoping that we can use this on the earlier side, potentially for preventing more long-term complications. But that's really unknown. We don't know. Again, this is really early. We only have phase 1 and 2 at best trials using this or cohorts. So it's just too soon to tell. I think there's a lot of nuances that still need to be explored. And yes, we want to prevent damage. We want to prevent extra steroid use long-term. But how we're going to use this, for whom, and just like you mentioned, logistics, practical considerations, helping patients understand where this may fit as well is very important.
You hit it right on the head. I think safety is paramount. The short term is very encouraging, but as we've seen with patients treated via the CAR-T route in oncology patients, lymphomas have developed. And this is something, of course, we don't want to induce in our own patients. So the long-term safety is going to be very much of an issue. Hopefully it will turn out to be okay, but we will have no idea whatsoever until time passes and we've had the experience that hopefully we will accrue.
Yeah, I agree. You know, we have to kind of balance the trade-offs. We thankfully do have some colleagues in hematology who are somewhat paving the way. But even in our patients, when we are treating these patients with lupus or if it's myositis, we are seeing some issues such as cytokine release syndrome, neurologic side effects, hematologic side effects, et cetera, but these are usually on the mild side. But as you mentioned, time will tell if we're seeing things like secondary malignancies, et cetera. And again, I think we're just so early in the process that it's very It's easy to get optimistic, and I think we have reason to be optimistic, but we also have to be cautious in not telling patients, oh, we definitely have a cure around the corner. You're definitely going to be able to receive this in a year or two. We just have to figure out when is the appropriate time to offer this to correct patients who are able to get this from a practical, logistical standpoint and hopefully respond to it well in a very safe manner.
Yeah, I too am optimistic. But again, as you said, we need to be cautious. Mm-hmm. And we can't oversell this, because the last thing you want to do to a patient is tell the patient, we have this fantastic, guaranteed, cure-all approach, and when it doesn't work, not only do we have egg in our face, but the patient completely loses confidence in us, and that's something which is intolerable.
Yeah. Thank you, Billy. I really appreciate your feedback here on the CASTLE trial and also on your thoughts on cell therapy in general. Thanks so much for talking with me today.
And thank you for allowing this conversation to go forward with me. I appreciate it very much. And thank you to our audience for watching.
And that's today's Specialist Spotlight. Thank you for joining us for this episode of PeerDirect Medical News Podcast. For more stories like these, visit us at PeerDirect.com. Thoughts, comments, or suggestions, please leave us a review on your preferred listening platform or email us at editorial@PeerDirect.com. Listen and subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. You can also download our Amazon Alexa Flash Briefing Medical News Roundup and just ask, what's my flash briefing? Thanks today to our guest, Drs. Wise and Stahl. Join me next time for an episode where we'll cover the latest stories in the world of medicine.